Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, you've spurred all kinds of... Does Adam Kaplan do this? Does he snitch on coworkers for wearing a different kind of jersey?
On Twitter.
Does he wear bedazzled jeans and Baby Gap shirts?
Stop it.
So, Adam Kaplan. Is Adam Kaplan going to join us?
Yeah, I think he's working on getting on the line. He said it's busy. We've got the IP codec. It's pretty cool. He can, like he does XM shows.
He's got a studio
also
at his house?
Yeah. So, it just pops right in and sounds great. So, we're working on getting him right now. I don't know. The line is, like, I know any of that business. He said the line is busy. So, we'll have him in just a little bit. I think we'll get it once we get an engineer on the case. The Texans send something out. Some people would say it's propaganda. I would just say it is counterbalancing all the negativity of their loss yesterday. Was it 45-7 or 54-7?
It was 45-7.
45-7, okay. I don't know if the numbers are transposed. If it was 54, I just lost count. But
because that ended in 2, 5 plus 7 equals 2, which made me win the pool. I had done number 2.
How did we did see a touchdown catch by DeAndre Hopkins, which was pretty neat.
Well, I got it right here.
And it looked like Jalen Ramsey is going to cry after the catch because he was so upset that they gave up points. Like the team, Jacksonville looked devastated. It looked like they wanted to do three things. Get to 12 sacks, make TJ Yates cry on the field at some point to see if they could make him have tears. And then they wanted to shut the Texans out. I think they did two of them, but they didn't get to. I don't know if they got.
They didn't get the shutout because DeAndre Hopkins got the touchdown catch, and I see it right here in the Texans notes. This has to be one of the hardest jobs.
So these are the positive. These are silver lining notes, right?
Well, right after a game, here's all the good stuff that happened. Mm-hmm. Here's the good stuff: completed their 12th touchdown pass of 20 more yards this season.
Hey,
there's a positive.
Pretty good there.
How about that?
Yeah, that's good.
What about our Texans doing that?
Now, probably 10 of them came from Deshaun.
DeAndre Hopkins caught his 6th touchdown of 20 or more yards. T.J. Yates threw his 2nd. How about that? Big ups. They recorded their 78th tackle for loss on the season.
What?
Which is the 5th most in a single season.
Doug, can we get some kind of celebration music, some kind of noises? This is how many tackles for loss? 78?
78.
That's incredible. I don't know what the standard is. That sounds high.
Well, it's the 5th most in team history.
Okay. That's pretty good then. Yeah, that's not bad. Hey, out of 17 years, it's in the top 33%.
Get this. Held the Jaguars to 3 of 10 on third down. That's 30%.
Boom! How in the world is anyone moving the ball in the Texans? Now, I don't understand how Jacksonville got 45 points when they were 3 of 10 on
third. 3 of 10.
I guess they didn't get to third downs
all that
much. How many third down conversions did they? What were the Texans? Do you have those? Are those in the notes?
Yeah, no, they're not in
the notes. The Texans' third down
is not in the notes.
Are they in the notes?
That wouldn't be a positive.
So the Jaguars had Only 10 third down attempts.
They did put TJ's in the postgame notes. 12 of 31, 38.7% for 128 yards, one touchdown, one interception.
Wait, is that a note? Is that one of the silver lining things?
Yeah, well, Lamar Miller, they have his, ran for 32 yards.
I'm just going to check the first down count.
Is there a note about touchdown catches by backup wide receivers in the
note? No.
No? Oh, did they say we held Marquise Lee to zero catches?
Zero catches?
Wait, does it say that the Texans, because this is true, you know, the Jaguars had 19 first downs in the first half, but they only had six in the second half. Is that in the postgame? Because if not, you're welcome, Texans. I just gave you some more good stuff.
Should have had that.
25-9, they were beaten on 464 to 186 on total yards. That's not really in the good notes. Adam Kaplan's going to join us here after the break.
Well, 17 different players recorded tackles on defense.
Holy crap! 17?
That's not a good thing.
Is that a record?
That's not a good thing, which means that you put all the guys in and somebody got a tackle.
Oh.
Yeah, because it was 45-7. Yeah, that wasn't a good. That's not a good thing.
Is this a good thing? 14 penalties? Like, did that break a record? Or for 127 yards, did that break
any
records?
Shane Leckler punted 11 times for 518 yards.
Wait. 518 yards? Is that a record?
No, that's not a record.
That guy's killing the game with all those
punts. No, that's not a record. 518. It just seems like it.
Third downs. The Texans were 4 of 16.
That's not a good thing.
No, it's 25%. I'm trying to find where they were better than the
Nothing were they
Jaguars
better than the Jaguars.
Anything.
I'll tell you what's better. Adam Kaplan on the other side. Better than what you said.
2.8 yards per pass?
What?
Is that good? They averaged 10.9.
No.
Is 2.8 good or bad?
That's bad.
What about this?
Why are you
red zone? Jaguars are 6-6. Texans 0-0. Is that considered good?
Same. Okay, 6-6, 0-0.
No, one is considered 100%. The other is considered 0%.
I'm not joking. This is seriously good. Is this in here? Texans cut back sacks from 10-4. From
That's
game
a great
one
thing.
To game
you
two.
Had the under over like
seven. And you fired over.
Thank
as
you.
Well you should have.
Thank you.
So the wise guys said, no, we're going to take. No wise guys would have had under in sacks.
Yeah. And then they should have had another one, you know, when TJ kind of threw the ball, kind of went off of his hand. Lance, it's your turn to talk.
BillAdvisor.com. This is your chance to start saving massive amounts of money. None of this is a lie. None of this is hyperbole. The average listener is saving $800+ per year with Bill Advisor. Now, when you consider that they charge you one low monthly fee that doesn't even remotely come close to that amount, you see why it's such an easy phone call for you to make. As a matter of fact, you don't have to call. You just text Bills. Just text Bills, B-I-L-L-S, to 313131. They will contact you back, and they will start to the process of getting the recurring bills from you. And I mean like internet, home phone, cell phone, home insurance, home security, car insurance, all of these. Any of these types of bills, what they do is they go in and they can either find new providers or in many cases what they do is find new providers and use that as leverage to renegotiate your bills for you so that you get new terms. And these new terms are maybe more channels on TV with lower prices. They got that for me with DirecTV. They got me a bill credit for 4 straight months. I had a $34 bill credit that was added to my bill just because. Pearl, who handles my account, she was just looking through my account and said, oh, you know what? I'm going to call and see if I can lower your rates on your internet. Lowered my rates by $14 per month on my internet service. That's what they do for you. They, on a professional basis, they just say, let's check into the bills. Let's check into the bills. They continue to do this, and they continue to save you throughout the year. I am over the $2,000 mark this year for savings. Let them do the same thing for you. It's the best call you'll make. BillAdvisor.com or text Bills to 313131. Coming up next, NFL insider Adam Kaplan, and we'll talk about Frank Reich, the offense coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. There's some rumors swirling that he could be the next head coach of the Texans if they part ways with Bill O'Brien. We'll get his take on Frank Reich. Don't let the juice spill, Pac. Blue pill pop. Do you feel good enough to pop the pop? Snape in the Blue Hills yacht.
This
is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell. Adam Kaplan joining us right now to talk some NFL football here on ESPN 97.5. Adam, welcome in. How are you?
Guys, good to talk to you. It's been a long time since I guess the three of us have been together. I can't even remember what century that was. What was it?
I mean, it was six, seven years ago. Yeah,
yeah, but it just seems like it was. Yeah. Since then, now, some teams have really turned it around, including the Rams.
Yes, how about that, folks?
I'm in. How about them just walking in and slapping that? Rank the NFC teams right now.
Well, I was at that game in Los Angeles last week. The Rams hosted the Eagles. Probably one of the better regular season games I've seen. And the reason why I would have the Rams, when you look at the NFC, as being one of the top two teams is simply because of the way that they're coached. The job that Sean McVay, the head coach, has done with the quarterback Jared Goff, and everyone wanted to run Goff out of Los Angeles last season, but it's all about coaching. You had a guy in Rob Boris who had not called plays before. He was the OC. That was a mistake by Jeff Fisher. Sean McVay, this dynamic head coach, who's a tremendous play caller, called the play for the Redskins last season. He comes in. He gets Jared Goff going on the right path. Wade Phillips runs the defense. He's done a phenomenal job there, and you have this magic. You know, guys, here's the thing. In the National Football League, yeah, you have to have talent to win. Coaching matters, and we're seeing that now. If you look at Philly, who I have is the best team in the National Football League right now, and the Rams is my number two team in the NFC, it's simply because of coaching, quarterbacks, and talent. I think you meshed the three of them, and there you go.
I got to say, Wade Phillips, every single year now, his second year is always, for whatever reason, his defenses aren't quite as effective. The first year he steps into a job, his defenses dominate. But when you look at the Rams and look at all the talent that they have up front, they've had talent defensively, Adam. You know this for a few years now. He's really getting the most of that talent. You get a quarterback who's feeling himself now in Goff. You get Gurley, who I think the one area that they didn't mention with the Rams, and I think this is an interesting point, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Rams, Saints. It's a little wide open over there, but I think Andrew Whitworth, the addition of Andrew Whitworth to that offensive line has made a massive difference.
Yeah, and what they did was they made a decision to keep Roger Saffold at guard and not move him to right tackle. They decided to keep Jamon Brown in the starting lineup. Havenstein, their right tackle, is back, who's way better than people understand. Remember, when he was drafted the second round, people were like throwing like books at TVs. Like, they didn't understand why was he overdrafted. Now you're seeing with better coaching how well he's played in the transactions, bringing the two Bills receivers, Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods. That's done wonders. And the play calling of Sean McVay for Todd Gurley. You know, people were running Todd Gurley out of town last season. They were wondering what's wrong with him. Well, there's nothing wrong. It was the coach. It was horrendous. So you get a great scheme, you get a great play caller, and you have success.
Yeah, and they were running Goff out. It was a waste of draft pick. Right. They were going to have to draft another quarterback. But, yeah, that coaching seems to be made a huge difference. But I will say this. I honestly, if the Falcons made another run, if Carolina gets there, if the Vikings get there, if Philly gets there with Knowles, if the Rams get there, I won't be surprised by any NFC team.
You know, it's, John, funny you mentioned this. It's been probably 10 years or so where the NFC has been much stronger than the AFC. I mean, you mentioned the Eagles, the Vikings, the Rams, the Saints. Folks, remember the Saints when they got smoked at home against the Patriots? There were rumors again, does Sean Payton want to get out? What's wrong with the defense? Why can't they get the defense right? All these bad draft picks. They got to turn around. You mentioned the Panthers. The Eagles go on there and a Thursday night on a sure week and beat them. People are wondering about the Panthers. Now, the Falcons, the problem there is you've got the change in coordinators. Kyle Shanahan is now the Niners head coach. Steve Sarkisian had never been a coordinator in the National Football League. He only had worked 1 year in the National Football League as a quarterbacks coach of the Raiders. It has not been as good. The lack of explosive plays, I think that's the problem there. I don't think their defense is as good as last season. I don't think they get there. I even if they make the playoffs as a wild card, I don't think they get there. Then you have the Panthers ownership situation. You're just hoping for the players and coaches they could keep that out of their minds and just practice and play well. But this NFC, folks, I mean, 1-6, They're probably going to be two teams that feel like they should have gotten in, but are probably not going to get in.
It's good. It's good in the NFC. John and I were talking about, you know, it's hard looking at – no one has given – I feel like no one's really buying all the way into Minnesota yet. And I'm guessing it's because of Case Keenum. But what I don't know what you want them to do. The defense is really good. Case Keenum, they don't have a great offensive line. They don't have great rushing attack. But why – does it feel that way to you, Adam, that this is just Philadelphia and the Rams and the Saints and even people talking about the Atlanta Falcons? But it's like the Vikings, for whatever reason, they're just in cruise control under the radar.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because when you talk to people around the league, when they a lot of them are like kind of shocked at how well Keenum has played. But this is what I had said earlier here. When you marriage the coaching from Pat Shurmur, who's a veteran offensive coordinator running his West Coast system, with a quarterback who's played in the West Coast before under Gary Kubiak, who understands the offense, and you have a running game with Latavius Murray. He's never played this well, by the way. Remember, he wasn't even supposed to be the starter. What happened was is their first-round pick, the running back who tore his ACL.
Delvin Cook, second-round pick.
He was second-round pick out of Florida State. When Cook got hurt, people were like, well, he was so dynamic, they'll never get back the running game. Well, Jerick McKinnon has been the changeup. It's worked. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, maybe one of the NFL's top three receivers that no one seems to know about. Kyle Rudolph is having a career year. They're right there. I think absolutely they could go into Philly if they have to and beat Philly. Philly right now without Carson Wentz, now I'll give them credit. Dick Foles played very well yesterday. He had four touchdowns. But Carson Wentz, I mean, folks, let's face it, he might have been the NFL's MVP before he got hurt.
It's Adam Kaplan with us here on ESPN 97.5. Marvin Lewis says, adios, I am gone. Probably be seven,
eight. Is his contract over, though?
Yeah.
It is, but I love how he denies that he's talked to people and leaked it out. I mean, it is what it is. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah. So we were talking about this on Friday. I think there will be eight, maybe more coaching openings. If Bill O'Brien leaves here, does he get a job right away?
Bill O'Brien's a highly respected coach. I think the thing is that there are always these rumors, and there were significant rumors last year around this time that Bill was going to go. And I know there were teams certainly interested in Bill if he wants to go. And then, you know, there will be – and I do believe they would look for an offensive-minded head coach. And I think in Philly, the quarterbacks coach, John DeFilippo, who was the Browns OC 2 years ago, he's probably going to be the hottest name for offensive the coaches from the offensive side. He is going to be the guy. Trust me on this one. He is the reason. He is the number one reason Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate before he got hurt.
John DeFilippo.
Yes, he was the Browns OC 2 years ago, and then Jeff Fisher declined to hire him. He actually interviewed him to be their pass game coordinator. And that was probably one of the Jets' biggest mistakes because, as you saw last year, it did not work out with their play calling.
How do you look at the Texans? How do you assess the Texans? So, on one hand, no Whitney Merciless. I'm not going to keep saying no J.J. Watt because who knows what J.J. can even do. We really haven't even seen that version of J.J. since he was running the ball down around the goal line with a screwed up groin for whatever reason, was the running back. So, here's my question for you. What do you do with the Texans? Because we saw the potential with Deshaun Watson.
Oh, it's incredible.
Early in the season, but this offensive line stinks. There's nothing that's going to change about that.
Yeah, but he made them look serviceable.
I'll tell you what. You got to get better. And you know, I have no first or second round pick either, Kaplan.
Well, here's the problem. Now, if you're a head coach, knowing a head coaching candidate, if Bill decides to leave or something happens and you're a head coaching candidate, you know the quarterback is coming back from a torn ACL. You don't know quite exactly when he's going to be ready. And then you mentioned the offensive line. The offensive line has never been good, but Nick Martin's a good player. Jeff Allen's okay at guard. And playing him at left tackle, I know there's no one left because everybody's hurt. Right tackle is something that's got to be developed. The running game has not been what they thought it would be. And then defensively, it's been like a mash unit. You mentioned Watt and Merciless. They've been going through a bunch of inside linebackers that they didn't expect to have to play. And then cornerback-wise, Jonathan Joseph is getting up there. Kevin Johnson's been sort of up and down. He's talented. You have to figure out what Kareem Jackson's role is going to be. The safety position, they're not getting the big plays that they're expecting. And I think they have to take a hard look at the defense going on. But Bill O'Brien's done a phenomenal job of play calling. Deshaun Watson, before he he got hurt. I mean, he was way better than people expected him to be. And I think a lot of it is the way that Bill O'Brien set everyone up. And the one thing, though, you look at that receiver position with Hopkins and Fuller, and they're really good there. But tight end, they're going to have to take a deep look at it. With Fedorowicz's concussions, I think they've got to get a little bit younger there and more dynamic. So I think I think Rick Smith has got a lot of work to do this offseason.
There's an understatement.
Do you think Bill O'Brien survives?
Well, here's the thing. You can't, when you say survive, I mean, you have to define that. I can't see any way that they would part ways with him. I think it would have to be a mutual thing. I mean, it's not his fault. I mean, the offense was, I mean, it was incredible. And talking to people, watch their tape, it was Bill O'Brien with that, with making it as easy as he could for Watson to be successful. And Watson's so smart and mature, he handled the volume that they gave him, and he did a great job. But, you know, he's coming off a significant injury. The Eagles are dealing with the same thing with Carson Wentz coming off the ACL. So I think it's a team that clearly came up short, but it's mostly due to injury.
A buddy of ours just tweeted out, no matter how you look at it, the Texans are 19th out of 32 teams record-wise since Rick Smith took over. 19th, and he's been here since 2006. This is 11 years now, and they're 19th in the league record-wise. How much more do you have to put up with before you say, we got to make a change?
Well, John, I think there are a couple things here. We know that they've kind of denied it, but it's not a secret. I mean, there had been friction with the general manager and the head coach for years, you know, really since day one, and they've learned to coexist. But the bigger picture is, as you just mentioned, why have they not been highly successful despite some good drafts, not great, but some good drafts and some pretty good draft picks? It's kind of puzzling. I think that also the owner's relationship with the general manager is not a secret. That they've had this strong relationship. I don't see a change being made there. I think it's just that they're going to have to figure out what it takes to get to the next level. I think, unfortunately, they're going to have to figure out the backup quarterback situation. We didn't mention that, but that's something. Tom Savage has been kind of up and down. He's a free agent, as we know, so they're going to have to take a look at that. And we need to take a look at the J.J. Watt situation. I mean, it's kind of to the point. It's a shame J.J.'s been such a dynamic player. I'm not saying they have to replace him, but they can no longer rely on him. And it's quite frankly, I would look to draft a defensive lineman very early in this draft. They can no longer rely on J.J. to be healthy.
Well, man, except they don't have a first or second rounder, and well, they've got to have a left tackle.
You know what?
They've got to have a right tackle.
You're either going to have to get one in free agency, or you're going to have to get some draft picks because this is. And I know they made the trade to move up to get the quarterback, but the fact of the matter is they're going to have to get some draft picks. Because right now, if you look at all the players who are coming off a significant injury, Watt and Watson obviously are chief among them. But you look at Merciless' situation, their offensive line needs to be fortified. They're an okay cap situation. Not great, but they're going to be okay. Tight end, as we said, it is the problem is, you know, they pay Ryan Griffin. He's been hurt a lot. Very athletic, but he's been hurt. Covington got hurt. Foreman looked great. That looked like they hit a home run there. He got hurt. I mean, at some point, you got to keep guys on the field, and that's another thing that Rick Smith has got to look at.
Yeah.
They got a long way to go. There's some really good things, but there's some also things that aren't going to get fixed in the year, and we'll see how they handle it. But the J.J. stuff you just talked about, that's the scariest thing, is realizing you can't just assume he's back.
Agreed. Totally.
100%.
Totally. And
you can't.
With his cap number and his situation, he's getting up there. It's you're not going to move on, but you simply have to just assume that he's not going to play a full season anymore, based on this all of the surgeries that he's had, upper and lower body, shoulder, groin. It's to the point where you just don't know when he's going to play, and it does absolutely impact their defense not having him.
Yep. All right, we're out of time. Adam, man, we appreciate you joining us. Great to hear from you again. Hopefully, we do this again soon.
Guys, thank you.
Adam Kaplan with us right here on ESPN 97.5. Good stuff. All right, let's don't just watch the games this weekend. We're talking about you could have made money if you bet on the Jags this weekend. That was simple money. That was easy, easy money. Get in the action at mybookie.ag. Start cashing in on your game day picks. MyBookie is the industry-leading sports book. Hooks you up for all your betting needs, NFL, college football, hockey, and more. MyBookie.ag has the best odds, action for players, big and small. Want to test your luck in a casino? MyBookie.ag puts instant blackjack, roulette, and Vegas-style slots in the palm of your hand. They even got beautiful live dealers dealing your cards in real time. And when you score that big win, MyBookie.ag has you covered with the fastest online payouts in the business. Call MyBookie.ag now, 844-900-2387. 844-900-2387. Mention promo code radio. They'll throw in an extra 50% on your first deposit. Sign up online as well using the promo code radio. MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag. Bet the biggest. Bet with the biggest. Bet with the best. Only at MyBookie.ag.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here. This is arguable. Now, is this team right here, right now, with TJ Yates, with this offensive line, with this defense, the worst iteration of Texans ever?
I say no. 2005 had to be. First of all, 2013 lost 14 straight games.
Yes, but.
And Matt Schaub set an NFL record that will never be passed that season. They burned jerseys.
Right, six straight pick sixes. That's fine.
Record setting.
That's fine, except. They lost at Kansas City 17-16. They lost 27-24, 27-24, 28-23, 13-6, 27-20. They were in football games. They just lost 14 in a row, but they were in 16-10. This team was in a bunch of games. That 2013 team, I'll take any day of the week over this team right now.
That one with 14 straight losses?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, should have been 15. No, it should have been 15-16.
Yeah, they lost to...
That San Diego game was a luck factor. Then,
and that one, wait, they beat Tennessee in overtime.
Oh, that's right.
And then
right.
Next week...
Those are their wins. It could have been 0-16,
No, but
baby.
They could have also won one of these close games. What about, okay, let's go. Come on. 2005 Texans. I'll look at their roster. Take a look at their roster.
Tell me how they play.
And take a look at this roster.
This roster stinks, but at least they've got more wins in both of those seasons. You are what your schedule, you are what your wins say you are. John Dorsey said it last week, too.
Well, look at their wins right now. They've got one win since Deshaun went down.
Thrashed the Bengals.
One win since Deshaun went down.
Let's see here.
Section statistics and players, 2005. Let's take a little look.
Okay, so, all right. So we're not counting any of the Deshaun games?
You had... Well, no, I'm checking out this team right now.
Look, they were
the roster that they put on the field yesterday.
They were
between
very,
the defense and the offense.
John, they thrashed the Cardinals. Okay, a very good Cardinal team. They barely lost by six at home to the Colts, who are an outstanding Colts team.
That's crap. That Colts team is one of the worst teams. Come on.
They struggled a little bit against the Rams. 33-7.
They struggled just a hair against the Jags.
They're struggling a little bit against playoff teams.
You think?
Now, they were competitive for a while against the 49ers, another red-hot team right now. They've won three in a row. The Texans basically got the front end of their hot streak.
That beat the Bears 15-14 with five field goals, won yesterday against a Tennessee
Jimmy
team.
Jimmy Garoppolo. 300-yard game, back-to-back, first time that that's happened
Garcia. How many wins does that San Francisco team have?
Well, they got three
four.
In a row.
Four.
Yeah, but three in a
and
row.
And they have four.
They caught them at the hottest time.
And they have four. It doesn't matter. The Texans turned Mickens into a Hall of Famer yesterday, Lance. They would have turned the 49ers around. They would have turned their season around. Okay.
This is kind of bad, I guess. You've lost by 11 to the Titans, 10 at home to the 49ers, and 38 to the Jaguars. Those are your last three. I mean, are you sure they're not quitting at all, John? Are you sure the team's not got a little quit factor going?
Okay,
you, I know they're not talented. I get that.
Tell me if this lineup wouldn't beat this Texans team. Dominic Williams or Dominic Davis. His mama called him Davis. I'm going to call him Davis. Andre Johnson. David Carr. Corey Bradford. Jerome Mathis.
I don't hear a lot of wins
Mark
from that.
Mark Bruner. I see more
you're
wins.
You're not doing yourself any justice by David Carr, Bruner, Mathis.
I see
Are
more.
You sure Mathis wasn't on the IR?
I see more wins in that team than I see in this one.
How many did they get? Two.
Two.
So they're wanting more
well,
wins.
Well, this team has, you know, this iteration has zero.
David was
this
the starter.
TJ Yates team.
That team had a starter and won two games.
It's a better team. As Jackie just said, those two win teams would boat race this team.
It's no way.
Yeah.
It would be total coin flippers.
I think those teams are better coached than this team. I think Gary Kubiak would run circles around Bill O'Brien.
I know this much. Maybe for a half, because that's what Gary Kubiak did, was like one half. He had good half.
Yeah, it'll be 21-4, and then Bill O'Brien's team wouldn't score.
Remember that
point?
Time I went through all of the stats, and I told you, I was sitting in that seat, and I told you, I said, the Texans, and the stat was something like, I went through all the scores where the first half versus the second, they had one really good half, and the other half was terrible almost all the time. And I went and looked at the percentage of times the first play was a passing play, and I told you about it. And at the press conference, you asked Gary that, and Gary goes, well, how do you know that?
Because we
You said, because that. Well, that's what the statistics say. He goes, am I just supposed to believe you in there?
Right.
And you're like, well, I mean, we looked it up. You didn't self-scout? Like,
you don't know
no
that?
Idea what your own tendencies
you
are?
You don't know that?
That was shocking to me. They didn't know their own tendencies. But
I asked Gary. Yeah, Gary was pissed at me.
I'm totally.
Gary was pissed at me all the time, though.
I'm totally confused about which team would be, which is it the 14 straight loss team that would beat this team?
Yes.
Or is it
nothing confusing about that.
Or is it a two-win team that got the first pick of the draft? Like, which first?
That was so blowing Reggie Bush?
You guys think the team that, so this team that's super horrible, that you claim is worse than the other two-win teams,
yes,
at least this iteration currently.
Right.
I just want to make sure that we all remember that there are no first or second round picks for this one.
Right.
There's no Clowney. There's no Mario. No. There's only going to be like...
Yeah, you're acting like this is like some 7, 8, 12 win team. They got four.
No,
and
what,
these
it,
guys...
Oh, no, it was an 8-win team
you know,
for sure
you know when
Deshaun.
They got them? They were 3-3
with
Deshaun.
But Deshaun is coming back.
And they should have been 5-1
yeah,
with Deshaun.
But Deshaun is coming back.
Yeah.
And
but I'm talking about this team.
But those teams were fundamentally crap teams.
So is this one.
Yeah. No. Because with one quarterback, this team wins 8 games.
Well...
They're not. There was no quarterback. There was no magic panacea. Your quarterback got his jersey burned,
well,
and people
was
ran
on
up
the,
on his house and if, threatened if to shoot Deshaun him in his own house.
If Deshaun was on those teams, how many wins did they have?
They just put a forced sale sign up.
Yeah, let's remove Carr, Schaub, Keenum, whoever the hell else was on the 2013 team.
There was like seven quarterbacks.
Whoever the hell else it was.
Right.
TJ Yates was there.
Put Deshaun on those teams, and how many wins do they have?
Same.
What, how many?
Same, probably, maybe. I don't know.
What do you mean?
What?
Deshaun would have won 12 games with that team.
No, I don't know about that.
That team was coming off that the 2013
well,
team.
Well, better offensive.
Listen, they,
I think it was
again,
a better offensive line.
They were losing games by 3 points. That I wish that this team was the 2013
here's,
team.
Here's my point. If Deshaun Watson, those teams didn't have Deshaun Watson.
No.
Deshaun Watson on this team probably wins 8. I think this team wins 8 games.
Worst case scenario. Deshaun on the team that was coming
you
off
can't.
A playoff appearance.
No,
why
you
not?
You can't put Deshaun on teams.
But this team isn't on. Deshaun's not on this team right
now.
But
Deshaun
so that's the
is
point.
On this team.
Not,
he's on IR.
No,
current team.
I'm talking about this iteration.
But this iteration of the team has an IR issue with your quarterback being on it. Next year, they're going to bounce back with that same quarterback.
All right, like he said, if you're going to put
those
Deshaun on this team, put Deshaun on that team. That would have been a really good team.
Okay, Deshaun will be... Okay, junior in high school, Deshaun Watson
is the
quarterback.
The point is, the current team, without Deshaun, all the injuries... John's not saying if everyone was healthy, they'd be really bad.
This is why I fundamentally disagree with playing the game of this iteration, because this iteration has Deshaun Watson. He's just out for right now.
No.
Now, if you want to tell me... the week 15, 2000.
Yes. No, that's exactly what I said. This week 15 team
right, ready?
Is the
Tell me
worst.
Where the game's being played in Reliant, or Minute Maid, or no, NRG, whatever the name is. So it's now the 2013 13 Texans are taking in week 15 are taking on the 2017. I'm going to make it's a home game for both teams, so it's a road game for both teams.
Right,
so
it's neutral
for both teams. I will make
more
that 13
Kubiak is coaching. Oh, listen, Wade more Phillips. People will cheer for 2013 if Case is quarterbacking.
Wade Phillips is Phillips is coaching the 2013 team. Bill O'Brien's coaching the 2017 team.
I'm making it a pick 'em.
Oh, I'm not.
I'm taking the 2013
team. I'm making 2013 at least a 6-point favorite.
2005 team found ways to lose. So 2005 team would be an underdog because they found amazing ways to lose. To the point that people thought it was they were fixing
games. I'm
going to
put 2005 Andre Johnson against these cornerbacks. And you tell me that not even that David Carr can't get involved.
Hopkins versus these cornerbacks.
I'll take
Andre. Wait a minute. 2005 cornerbacks. Do you want to go back and look at the 2005 cornerbacks? Because I don't even remember who they were, but I'm guessing they were pretty sweet. Because Kareem Jackson was a first round
pick.
Aaron
Glenn was already old and owning Popeyes.
Pro Football Reference. I really have to. I don't know why I'm spending this much time on this.
8:46. How about this?
Remember Chris Brown's field goal against the 49ers that hit somebody in section 200?
I'd still take Chris Brown over Kyamie Fairbairn.
Yes, I'd take him over Kyamie.
No way.
I'll take those 2005 special teams against these special teams any day.
Who's ever said that ever?
Hey, we got Klein's Christmas party coming up. We're giving away pearl earrings today, 9:30. You're going to call in at exactly 9:30, and we're going to take caller number 24 is going to win the pearl earrings. We'll give them away. We'll tell you about it next right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I got to talk about Coors Light. Did you see my tweet yesterday? Tweeted out. I was sitting over at Yanni's. We were over at Damaris. And it was fabulous because I had Coors Light there. And my buddy Chad. I mean, we've kept Coors Light in business for years now, for years and years. But if you're enjoying the game, and even if you're not enjoying the game, even if you're watching a certain team here in Houston and you got to watch them, what I need you to do is grab a nice ice cold Coors Light. And you know the difference between Coors Light and every other beer is you know it's cold. You know why? Blue Mountains. Does the other beer tell you if it's cold? No. You could pick up a beer and be that's warm. That's terrible. Coors Light, you know immediately. Oh, look, it's blue. It's cold. Who else has that technology? Who else has the wonderful smoothness of a Coors Light? All you got to do is live the Coors Light life. Coors Light XP is the app. Get it. Climb on, brother. And get on board with the best tasting light beer in the history of the world. It's Coors Light. At Coors Light on Twitter. Coors Light XP is the app. Come on. Climb on, brother.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I got a buddy. I mean, Yanni, give it up. Dude, the ball was on the ground. Ball not only touched the ground, James was laying on top of it. By the time it was over.
It's not that difficult.
It's not that hard. The ball touched the ground.
You want to keep fighting this because it annoys you.
Because you bet on the Steelers.
Well, that too. But for people who didn't have a rooting interest or vested money interest, we get it. It's annoying that that's not a catch. You think it should be a catch. But it's not that hard. He didn't catch in the rules today. He didn't catch the ball.
He didn't catch it. It's all. It touched the ground. Tell me where it touched the ground. He was laying on it.
The guy's chest was on the ball. Moving it around.
Dell. I think you guys have got a segment, maybe for the rest of your lives here.
Regarding what?
Jerry Richardson.
Oh, I do. I mean, it'll be something that I use to give away tickets because Raheel's not out, so it's really my show.
Yeah.
So I get to do stuff the way I want to do it. So coming up, I will say at about 12:30, I say if you guys listen throughout the day, get yourself ready. 12:30, I'm giving away Globetrotter tickets, and the only way you win them is you have to find something that's creepier than Jerry Richardson. I don't care if you have a diaper fetish.
This is a good one, Del.
Or you like rubbing mayonnaise on people. Find something creepier than Jerry Richardson for 12:30, and you win Globetrotter tickets.
How about that? So Jerry Richardson is going to sell the Panthers. He has decided after this stuff has come out. You know, he probably knew this was coming. You know, Uncle Creepy, Jerry Richardson, apparently took great interest in female employees' bodies. Several spoke to
Dell's got some
to hold, Sports hold, Illustrated. Hold on one second.
Dell's going to play some music underneath that I think will. Okay.
Go ahead. Start reading it, Buffalo Jerry.
It allegedly took great
Want to
interest.
Shave your legs? I'll shave your leg for you.
Several who spoke to SI recounted how Richardson asked them if he could shave their legs. These are employees. I mean, is that not? He also
turn up just a little bit.
He brought them up to his office to ask them for foot massages. And he frequently gave women.
Harvey Weinstein, Ben had that move.
Frequently gave women back rubs that lasted too long Once or again, went too low down the spine.
Have you noticed that the massage is the move for all these creepers? Like, we say we just go get some massages together. I'll give you one. No, but this guy takes it to another level. Tell him the seatbelt move.
Do you think he's putting his junk between his legs? Like,
putting lipstick on right now?
I'm you.
No.
You, me. I'm me.
He also held Jeans Day, okay, on Fridays.
Oh, that's
casual
Fridays.
Well,
that's nice, casual Fridays. What's creepy about that?
And he'd ask the female employees to turn around so he could admire their backside and ask invasive questions about their effort required to get into those jeans.
Linda,
show me how
you
wiggle.
Could you turn around, Linda?
Show me how you wiggle to get up in those jeans.
Jerry.
Now, this is one I've never seen before. This is pretty inventive.
This is actually, this is an old 1940s move or 1950s move, right?
He also resorted to what women called the seatbelt maneuver.
Okay, tell me this doesn't sound like a 1950s where you're going off to the sock hop move.
Right.
And you remember you let the girl in and you know.
Yeah.
This is a 19, although you didn't use seatbelts back then.
Well,
didn't George's dad in Seinfeld do the stop short
the
move?
The stop short move.
Stop short.
Yeah. And so, yeah, stop short. This was, he kicked it up a notch. Apparently, he wouldn't let them put the seatbelt on. He wanted to do it for them. He asked them out to lunch, insisted on buckling them into the car himself, enabling his hands to brush across the women's breasts as he did so. And then there was the racial discrimination thing. But
oh, okay. All right. That's not big right now.
No.
That's not hot right
now.
No. Nah, that's not.
No, that's not. That's not.
We're over that stuff.
Yeah. So Jerry Richardson has, they've decided, you know
so
what?
So seatbelt move.
Filthy old rich guy, rich white guy.
So seatbelt move.
Seatbelt move.
You've got.
It's totally
turn
sweet.
Around, Linda, and let me see what God gave you. Or no, how do you get into those pants or whatever?
Show me that wiggle that right. got
yeah.
you
show
into
me
the pants.
Yeah.
You got that.
How do you wiggle into those jeans?
You have, can I shave your legs for you in the office?
Of all the things, that's the worst.
That is
outside of the actual touching.
Know him massaging and going
what
low.
I was gonna say is outside of the actual touching, but the thought of hey, can I shave your legs?
That's the owner
of a
team.
What about him bringing you up to his office and saying, "How about giving me a foot rub?" Okay,
well, the man's feet hurt. What do you want?
Blech. No, that's. I mean, honestly.
I just
Jerry
like,
Richardson.
I feel like I got to apologize to every.
Creepy.
Sorry, women. I didn't realize there were this many creeps. I swear to God. Maybe it's been y'all's own little secret. I can't believe how many creeps are out there. It's truly like owners of guys who run studios, owners of professional teams. I thought it was just players. And creepy guys.
Right. And insurance managers who make you run around the desk and stuff.
Yeah. I thought it was like things I saw in movies. I didn't realize it was everybody. I didn't realize it was Good Morning America hosts, professional football owners, runners of entire movie houses.
Hey, man, Good Morning America hosts. No.
Isn't that Lauer?
What was his name? John's defending ABC right now.
That's ABC.
Today's
NBC.
Show. The Today Show.
Oh, Today Show. They're all the same to me. That's like saying, remember Terry Bradshaw when he got in a fist fight versus when he got in a fist fight versus Michael Irvin? Like, I don't know. They're not on the same ones. It was Randy Moss there. I don't know. There's like 10 of them. I don't watch any of them. Only NFL Network. That's the only one I watch.
You guys have had your problems.
That is your problem.
Well, those are their accusations. We'll see what happens on it, though.
Yep.
All right, let's catch up on breaks. And again, at the bottom of the hour, 9:30 exactly, you're listening. Loose. You call in, and you can win the pearl earrings, courtesy of Klein's Fine Jewelers. How about that? At 9:30. And by the way, this Friday is the Christmas party, and if you're not there, if your pee-pee hurts because it's going to be raining outside, then you know what? Then you shouldn't be there anyway.
It's lit.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're going to start crying, then don't even come. Don't try to win a bunch of prizes.
No.
Don't say, can I tweet for a prize?
No.
You can't tweet for any prizes. No one's taking any Twitter prizes.
No.
Your prize that you get to be snarky and try to get 7 retweets. That's your prize. That's your hopes and dreams are trying to get likes for snarkiness on Twitter. Congratulations, you win.
Yeah, but you're not getting a John Lance t-shirt.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Hey, the end of December's coming up, so make sure you take advantage of these great December deals going on at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Right now, $10,000 off MSRP on the new 2018 Chevy Crew Cab. This is awesome. It's the 1500 Texas edition. You are going to love it. It's a 2018 with $10,000 off MSRP. Now, that's the new one. Maybe you want to go 2017. That's certainly doable because they have a 25% off MSRP on the 2017 Chevy Cruze, which is a car, and the 25% off MSRP on the new 2017 Buick Envision and Encore, which are crossover vehicles. They advertise real prices that everyone get, not the fake prices that try to lure you in. And Craig DeSerf, that's my man over there. He's running the show there. He ran it for years here at a dealership in Houston. He went out there because he wanted to get away from all the hassles that they have in Houston and said, I want to be the neighborhood car dealership where people come in and they trust us and we do right by them. And that's exactly what he's doing. That's why so many cars and trucks and especially trucks and SUVs are getting sold at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. For more information, go to the website at Chevy at gulfcoast.net. I should say it's gulfcoast.net, or just get with them and say, look, I want to buy a car. I'm doing everything online. Can you guys bring it to me here in Houston? I'm super busy. Yeah, we'll do that for you because that's the valet service that they're willing to give you at gulfcoast.net.
We don't make knee-jerk decisions.